Bits, a brief podcast before the M&A and Tech Conference in Berlin. Welcome to another edition of Tech Law Bits, a small podcast in preparation of the IBA M&A in the Technology Sector Conference in Berlin on March 23rd and 24th. My name is Martin Schirmbacher. I'm a tech and data lawyer here in Berlin, and I'm really looking forward to seeing many international colleagues here in my hometown. Two of these lawyers are with me in this episode today. We have Olivia Leorowitz from Raymond in Paris. Hello, Olivia.
Hello.
And we have a fellow Berliner, Falk Schöning, partner at Hogan Lovells in their Berlin and Brussels office. Hello, Falk.
Hi, Martin. Thanks for having us.
To those listeners who maybe have already heard one earlier or one or two earlier episodes of this podcast, the goal is to give attendees of the conference a taste of what to expect of the individual sessions and roundtable discussions. And today I speak with two moderators of a roundtable discussion, and your topic is merger controls and foreign direct investments issues. So before we speak about the topic, maybe you can briefly introduce yourself and let the listeners know a little bit more about you, Olivia.
Yes, thank you, Martin. So my name is Olivia Leorowitz. I've been a lawyer now for more than 30 years in major American and French law firms, and recently joined Raymond and founded their Paris office. I work mainly in the M&A private equity field, and with many transactions actually relating to technology deals. So this is going to be an interesting subject that we are going to discuss during this IBA meeting in Berlin.
Great. Yes. And I've talked to a few people, and the intersection between tech and M&A is what everybody seems to be doing, surprisingly not. Falk, what about you?
Yes. Hi, everyone. So my name is Falk Schöning. I have been with Hogan Lovells for about 16 years. I also do a lot of M&A deals, but I come to this from the regulatory perspective. So I'm an antitrust lawyer by training. In the last 2 years, I'm increasingly also involved in these so-called FDI screenings, so looking at national security aspects of transactions. And my practice is very international, so I help many international clients from the US, from Asia, from all over Europe in getting regulatory clearances for their deals. And therefore, I'm very much looking forward to meeting many of the IBA colleagues in Berlin, where I also, just like you, Martin, personally live.
So, as said, merger control and FDI issues is your topic. From the pure technology law perspective, maybe I need a little explanation. And maybe we start with the FDI part. What is this all about, Olivia?
Yes. So when we speak about technology, I think we speak about FDI regulation. We have to consider that now the FDI regulation, which exists in almost all member states and now at the EU level, is really a screening regime to screen transactions and authorize or not transactions. And when they fall in strategic sectors, this is where you have to start of being concerned or whether or not your transaction is going to be subject to authorization. And when we speak about technology, I mean, the EU regulation has specifically expanded the list to critical technology. And when we speak about critical technology, then it means that we are speaking of cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, robotic, additive manufacturing, semiconductor, quantum technology, energy storage. And this list has been also extended, I mean, at least in France, to biotechnology and technology involved in the production of renewable energy. So whenever your transaction is going to be on a target that is in this scope of sectors, then you really have to be concerned about whether or not it's going to be subject to FDI authorization.
Okay. Maybe one step back, Falk. What is the purpose behind this FDI regulation? I think we have all one or two examples in our mind, but what's the legal regulator or the regulatory thought behind prohibiting some of this?
Yeah, it's really the very broad notion of national security, which some people would start thinking about, like the armed forces or anything related to critical infrastructure like electricity, grids, water supply, and so on. But as Olivia has already pointed out, the term is very broad, and many EU member states, but also jurisdictions outside Europe, increasingly use this as a tool to ensure that they can screen who invests in their economies, who buys into their companies. The elephant in the room behind all of this is the Chinese strategy in the last years to invest into many, many companies in Europe and therefore get a foot into the door of many industry sectors. And this was very welcome a few years ago. But increasingly, there is a sentiment that there might be security issues with that. For instance, the ability to influence the new telecommunication networks. And you can actually think about all of these filings as a means of the state to look into transactions that are happening. The vast majority will be vetted, but some will require a closer look, and the parties will then have to deal with agencies and officials and explain to them what the potential impact of such a transaction might be.
Right, and this is where the M&A angle comes into, and I guess there's different, maybe we can look into this a little, different scenarios where the two basically come together, FDI and merger control. So what are typical scenarios you would be confronted with in a deal?
I mean, if I start from my point of view, you typically see on the FDI side transactions where the target has activities in a sector that is somewhere listed. So you first look at where does the target have its seat and where are other entities in the target group, if it's a larger group. And for each of these seats or jurisdictions, you would have to check whether the activities fall into any of the categories that Olivia mentioned at the beginning and that I also expanded here in the area of critical infrastructure. If that was the case, then the parties to the transaction need to check, do we need to get approval before we can close our private parties agreement? So it is essentially nowadays the case that two private parties cannot simply do a deal that goes unnoticed. You may have to interact with regulators, either on the security side, or indeed if the parties reach certain thresholds on the merger control side.
And who would the regulator be?
So this depends by jurisdiction again. In most countries, for instance, in Germany, it would be the Ministry of Economics. I think, Olivia, in France, it is probably the same.
Yes, indeed. I mean, in France, it's the Minister of Economy.
Right. Okay. And Olivia, from your point of view, when you have to do with FDI issues in deals, what is from an M&A point, what is your approach? Where does that come into play, and where do you raise your finger, your FDI finger, so to speak?
Yeah. So as Falk mentioned, I mean, FDI regulation has become very broad. And indeed, it is broad enough that you really need to, at a very early stage, ask the question of whether or not do I fall under the listed activity. And sometimes it can be unclear because the definition can be quite broad. But if there's a doubt, I think that the recommendation is that you should probably at an early stage address the issue and notify if there's any doubt that you may fall under such a regulation. So this probably means from an M&A perspective that this is something that you have to think at the time you are doing due diligence. I mean, whenever there's a contract with a defense ministry, whenever the activity of the company is indeed, I mean, if we are speaking of critical technology in one of these areas or in one of these sectors which is covered by the regulation. And then you probably need also to think about timing, because this requires most of the time a number of months before you get approval. And of course, you need to think on a global perspective if ever your transaction is going to fall under different jurisdiction. I would also add that you may want to think ahead of time if you think that your transaction is going to fall under such FDI regulation, if you want to restructure the transaction. I mean, is there a way that you could spin off the activity? I mean, is there a way you could structure differently the transaction if you are certain that this is going to fall under FDI regulation? And finally, the fact that now we have this EU screening regulation makes it also a bit more burdensome to take in consideration that it's not only a state member national security, but it's eventually also at the level of the EU that there could be an issue for a neighbor country or the EU on the whole. So it makes this process, I would say, much more complicated, and you really have to navigate into this at a very early stage.
It sounds to me like the importance of this has basically skyrised, as in, you know, the technology affected being much broader. You mentioned, Olivia, earlier what technology is affected or if it falls within the scope of the regulation. What national security is can these days be, as we have already heard from Falk, very broad. So do people maybe, or do investors lose interest in technology deals then, because they're just dragging along because of issues like this? What do you think? What is your experience?
I think that investors are still interested in technology deals. I mean, there may be cases where they may decide that it's going to be too complicated. But it seems that from what I see, that there are still a lot of interest in acquiring technologies. And it seems that this is the field where we have the most notifications. But of course, I would say that generally speaking, it seems that there are few cases where an authorization is refused, even though we have a few examples in France and elsewhere. But most of the cases are usually that you get an authorization subject to commitments. So I still feel that there's an attraction in investing, but you should be aware that if the technology is sensitive, or if you are in a sensitive sector, you must be ready eventually to accept some undertakings.
Absolutely. Falk, do you want to add to this? I think there's so many questions you can discuss with the people at your table. It is so obvious that everybody who is in the field will have their own basically experience and thoughts on this.
Yeah, and I mean, what I really like about this format is that we look at it from a complementary perspective. I can second to what Olivia said from the regulatory point of view. The transactions still take place. In fact, if I look at this year, I can already see that there is even an increased interest. I think we all probably in the M&A area saw a bit of a dip last year due to the war in Ukraine and the energy crisis and inflation concerns. And right now I can see that actually the M&A activity is picking up again. And I would say that investors are just building in the complexity that Olivia mentioned as a cost to the transaction, a factor they need to consider. And people are getting more and more savvy in how to do it. So you need to think about how your SPA looks like. You need to think about the risk sharing between the buyer and the seller for these types of things, for the right strategy in explaining your case to the agencies, whether that's FDI or merger control. But it is still doable. And even the example I gave at the beginning of Chinese investors, I still see cases happening where a Chinese investment in Europe takes place. Fewer than in the years before, for sure, but it still exists. So I can only say my own role as a regulatory lawyer is, it has changed a bit. In previous years, we were often involved only after a deal had been signed, and then the task was given to us, go get us the regulatory clearances. Nowadays, at least with more savvy parties to transactions, the regulatory lawyers are involved from the early beginning because there are important structuring questions, and it just serves the parties better to think through this whole complexity from the early days of a deal process.
Okay, so I think it's needless to ask my last question because I already have like three or four more questions in mind you can talk about with the attendees of your table, but I've asked everybody, so I will ask you as well. Olivia, why should attendees join your table on March 23rd? And to those of you who didn't know, also on March 24th in the morning, we have another round of roundtables. So why would people come?
Yeah, I think that's understanding. I mean, the control merger control FDI regulation is really essential and critical to any M&A technology transaction. So I think it's a great opportunity to share and exchange information, experience on regulation, different approaches. And thanks to the diversity of the participants, I mean, I'm sure this is going to be a very interesting learning experience. So I truly think it's going to be something very, very interesting for everyone that that will join and that can contribute actually from its own legal perspective.
Absolutely. Falk, last sentence to you.
Yeah, I can only second. I think the diversity of both the group and also the topics will be of real interest for participants. Whether you're in a startup and you think about to whom could I best sell stakes or whole of my company, whether you're in private equity and you think I don't have an issue because I don't pose any national security concerns, or you're a strategic investor, I think you'll all face not the same, but similar issues with merger control and FDI. And talking to others about what best practices are, what tips and experiences they have made with different authorities around the globe on this will be certainly valuable for future deals. So therefore, I really look forward to seeing many of you at the roundtables.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much to both of you. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Falk, for giving us a little flavor of what to expect at your table. I already have so many questions in mind, even as a technology lawyer, the most interesting probably being how to get around it. Maybe we do something on that topic after the Berlin conference. Deal listeners, if you haven't already done so, go ahead, register for the conference, not only for this table, but also for the other sessions that will be happening in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel at Potsdamer Platz in Berlin on March 23rd and 24th. Thank you very much. Thank you to the two of you, and have a good day. Thanks.
Law Bits.